All right, welcome back to another episode of the What Podcast. I'm Barry, that's Brian. You'll notice Lord Taco is not with us today. He's off doing whatever one does in a VW bus. It's Bugapalooza in Chattanooga. That's his other happy place. I'm sure he's having a great time.
Yep, it is a it's a fun event here in Chattanooga, and he's an organizer yep. as well. So
yep,
but he'll get us cleaned up, make the show look good like he always does, and we'll talk to him again next week.
We've got a kind of a part two, I guess. We had Patrick Wieland on from the founder of Subaru last week. I thought it was a fascinating show, and we wanted to extend it by having a couple other people that we know. Sort of give more perspective, I guess, on how to do a festival sober, do an event like this sober. You know, Brian, you gracious enough to talk about your own experience. So we thought we'd have Tara Wieland and her daughter Kai, who is 17. Kai is one of the coolest people that I know, especially as a young person, but just as a person in general.
Yeah, she's the official intern of the podcast. Yeah. I don't know how much longer she's going to want to have that title. Right? It's probably flattering at first, but now it's like, okay, enough, guys. But no, it's been fun to see the maturation of her and her family and how they've done it. We also we'll talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts of bringing a teenager. You know, yeah. We talk about the do's and don'ts of grown-ass adults.
Yeah.
How about the do's and don'ts of bringing a teenager? And we'll get into that here shortly. And that was interesting as well from Tara. So a fun little follow-up. It's kind of a hybrid. It's not a complete follow-up. But I do want to say about last week's show is that it did turn out well. And I'm my worst critic on things. And I wasn't sure if it was, you know, because I won't really know until it's done and then kind of give it a review of my own. But really what it comes down to, forget me, forget you, forget Russ, Patrick was a great guest.
100%.
Just a great guest. And not forget what organization he's here to talk about. Insert whatever organization that it might be if it wasn't that. He's just a great guest. And those are hard to find sometimes. And we didn't even really know that going into it. And that is what makes this kind of content great to me, fun to me, and good for what I believe the listener too, because we can talk about things all day long. We can talk for the next couple hours, Barry. There's just no reason to do that.
Right.
But bring in somebody who really has something to say, is excited to be there. Man, Patrick was all that, and I love that about him. And I mean, I feel like he's my friend. I've never met him, and I got to hang out with him at Bonnaroo.
I 100% agree. He, and just like this episode, I think he brings a deeper perspective than just one thing. You know, we pointed out last week the fact that, you know, he came out of the Grateful Dead culture.
Yeah, which none of us knew until we discussed it on that show. Yeah,
and I thought it was so important to point out, you know, that, and we do in this episode as well, that Bonnaroo is a place where people go to do recreational drugs and drinking, and that's fine.
Yeah, to learn about themselves, and sometimes that enhances that. And,
right.
Yeah, what I appreciate about him too was maybe when I would think about, you know, how we layered, how we did the show, and maybe meandered a little bit. He knew what we were trying to get to, and he got to it. Yeah. And so if you have not seen that whole thing, it is long, but it is worth every second of it. And I wouldn't just get on here and start saying that if I didn't believe it. I'd just say, yeah, it was good, Barry. Anyway, next, move along.
Yeah, moving on.
You know, I was 100% like, this is some pretty good work, and it was all Patrick that he made that thing go.
Well, and along those lines, again, the guest today, you know, you'll hear, we, like I said, Kai is 17 with 6 years of experience. She brings that perspective. Tara, her mother, is an 18-year, going on 19-year veteran.
And a veteran of the live music space all the way around, professionally as well. Yeah.
She's run venues here. She's on the board here for one of our larger summer series. So she brings a experience from and a perspective you know, that not everybody has. Cassie is 8 year. Cassie Wanamaker is our other guest. She's been to 8 Bonnaroos. What she said, the last 3 sober,
two or three.
And so, you know, we talk about the support that's needed and how do you get through that and all that. And again, I want to emphasize, this is not a show about trying to change anyone's mind or how you experience it. If you want to go there and drink and do recreational drugs, please do. Like I said, I can't think of a better place.
If you know what you're doing and you've got a plan, there's nothing wrong with it. And it's just, for some there isn't. And to know that there's things you can do to prepare, to be preventative for issues and be safe and not be stigmatized for that. And starting from last week, organizations where if you just need to get away, even if you're not in, like, I had trouble with this at first, like when they call, if you're a recovering addict, you're in recovery for forever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how it's referenced. Like, oh, all right, so you in recovery still? I'm
right.
Like, well, yeah, I thought I was done with recovery.
Yeright, right.
No, you're really not, based on their terminology. And so if you're not in what you would consider a recovery, but you just need to get away from the madness, Soberu is that,
right,
is that outlet for you. And yeah, so just great show last week, and to understand how that organization works, and to have some people today we'll get to here very, very shortly. Before we do that, real quick, Barry, if you don't care, I wanted to bring up this Texas Eclipse Festival. Not a huge news that we need to spend a long period of time on, but and I didn't get too far into the weeds through the social threads like I normally do. It was a 40,000 capacity festival last weekend, so it ended the day after we last recorded. So it's about a week and 3 days, about 10 days old now. But it was a one-off put together that was in the line of totality for the eclipse on Monday. And so it started on Friday, and it was going to end on Tuesday. And this is EDM, all-day EDM, didn't recognize a name on it. Mm-hmm. But it also had a lot of art installations, lots of astrology, tarot, all the stuff you would expect to come with that kind of celestial event. And so, by all accounts, it was a from what I read, it didn't get to the 40,000 ticket capacity, but it was still, I think, in the half plus of that, so a decent amount of people. And weather, tornadoes, hail, really bad forecast came in into this Texas area. Forgive me for not knowing what part of Texas, but somewhere where that swath of totality runs through. And at 10 a.m. on Eclipse Monday, they canceled the remainder of the event because the weather forecast looked that bad.
Wow.
So it started on Friday. You're thinking you're going to make it through this, and the eclipse, it's kind of the star of the show. It's almost the headliner of the festival. And this very unique, cool idea, at least the little I know about it. But just imagine being at a festival where that's the thing you're waiting for, kind of. It's kind of the crescendo. And 4 hours before it starts, they're evacuating,
go home,
closing, and it's done. Now, all that swath of Texas kind of got their eclipse ruined because the weather came through and kind of ruined it. I mean, it got dark, but it was going to get dark anyway because it was going to be bad storms. So that's just so that's just unfortunate for them. But just to be, you know, kind of out of pocket a little because you're at this festival thing, and I don't know the grounds or much more than that, but then just being told, hey, the eclipse starts in a few hours. You gotta go.
Go home and watch. Wow. I hadn't heard anything about that.
I don't think there was a. They did some partial refunds. No big deal as far as no. There were actually talk about maybe some health stuff, but I didn't get too far into it. Just thought, man, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So that's just the latest of festival talk for the week, and I thought it was worth mentioning.
You mentioned the how many people showed up. That reminds me, I had a couple conversations this week, and it does look like Bonnaroo, you know, there was some talk that it was way down the numbers. I've been told probably going to be somewhat like last year, which I think was
60 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. 60 to 70.
Yeah. So
that'd be more comfortable for us. Yeah. And that's a number that's not like, right. What are we going to do? That's still a solid number. So,
and also the day, you remember there was the talk where they were not going to do day passes and then backed off on that immediately. And it has made a difference as far as sales. So, that's why they did it. So
good.
We'll see how that works out. Yeah. I don't have strong feelings either way on that one. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't either. From a philosophical, social thread, I don't have an opinion there. If you can sell more tickets, do whatever it takes.
Got to make money.
So I agree with that.
All right. So here we go with our conversation with Cassie, Tara, and Kai. And thanks again to them. And we'll be... I'm anxious for everybody to hear it. It was a great conversation, and I thank them for their time.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hey, everybody. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you'll remember last week we had Patrick Whelan, the founder of Soberoo, one of my favorite episodes. I don't know if you guys, you're nodding your head. I hope you got to hear it, Tara.
I did.
And Cassie. And Brian, I know we talked all week with our co-host, Lord Taco Russ, who you'll notice is not here. I guess, by the way, I should start and just say he's at Bugapalooza, which is his second happiest place on Earth, I imagine. Bonnaroo probably is, I don't know which is one or two, but Russ with the bus. A bunch of Beetle fanatics, Volkswagen fanatics, or
yeah, he might not admit it out loud. He might have a different tune when he's out there with all his bus VW people. I would guess Bonnaroo's overtaken the number one, but Bugapalooza is one of the biggest Volkswagen car shows in the Southeast. Yeah. It might even go bigger than that. So it's a pretty big deal here in Chattanooga, and it is. It's about as perfect a weather as it could be for a spring weekend. So, yeah, that's where he is. And I usually pop in there and won't make it this year, though.
Not only is he there because he's got a VW, but he's very active in the event and planning it and all that. So, hope he's having a good time. He'll be back next week. But last week we had, like I said, Patrick on, who we spent almost more than an hour talking about attending an event like Bonnaroo, sober. And it was, I thought it was terribly insightful for so many reasons, so much so that we wanted to continue that conversation. We've got with us Tara Veland. I always want to make it more emphasis.
Veland.
Tara V is fine. Yeah.
Veland and her daughter, Kai. Kai, you are how old now?
I'm 17.
That's what I thought. And we'll get into their creds here in a minute. And Cassie Wanamaker is joining us as well, right? What I want to do is talk a little bit about, not a little bit, as much as we want to, just sort of extend that conversation. And then also, you guys are veteran Bonnaroo attendees, so we want to get your take on the festival in general as well. So I'll give I'll go ahead and ask. I'll start with you, Cassie. How many years have you attended, and why, and when did it start, and all that? What's your relationship?
So I've been to Bonnaroo 8 times. This year will be my 9th time.
I started going in 2014, and I've went consecutively ever since.
Tara, your answer is going to be a little bit longer. I'll go ahead and let you try to I've known Tara for a long time, for guys in the show, and Brian, I know you have as well. Like a lot of us, this festival, and Kathy, I assume you as well, it hits a lot more than just an event, right? I mean, it's meaningful to us all year round. So, Tara, the reason I was laughing is you sent a nice email with kind of some talking points and some notes, and it's pretty extensive. So I'll let you sort of hit the highlights to that if you can, and then we'll all jump back in, because your story is so similar to so many others, but so unique. And to me, that's what makes this event special.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, thank you, Barry, for that. So Bonnaroo is in my blood. Talking about that story, I grew up here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I became a wild child at a very young age. No one ever talked to me about college or careers or what you wanted to do with your life. And I ended up moving, after graduating high school by miracle, to Norfolk, Virginia. And while I was there, again, somehow got a job as a security guard at the Virginia Beach Amphitheater. I'll never forget being like a 19-year-old, tiny thing. And one of my first shows was watching the pyro boxes at Metallica. As these huge stagehands are all walking around that I'd waited on at my restaurant job the night before. So that was kind of cool. But that same company actually led me back home to Tennessee. At that time, I'd never heard of Bonnaroo. I'd only been to a few concerts, and got off a bus with $7 to my name and spent 2 weeks on the farm doing security. And so Production Road has blew my mind, seeing the different aspects of it, and from the power to the stagehands to the production to the water guys, like all of these different elements that come together to make this festival. And I finally said, this is what I want to do. There was a woman who was driving a Lyft, and she had this big floppy hat on, right? I'll never forget. She's this big, blonde woman with this big floppy hat driving the Lyft around. And I said, whatever I can do in my life to get me to that point, that's what I want to do in retirement. I want to just drive around festivals and drive a Lyft. So it'll be 19 years for me this year. So this will be my 19th Bonnaroo. We're excited. It is. It's more than just going to see the shows. It's being home on the farm for a few days every year and getting away and being in one of the largest cities in Chattanooga, in Tennessee. So
we said last week, Brian, you've been to pretty much all of them in some form, or some longer, more days than others. The first several, or let's put it this way, the last one sober. Mm-hmm. Tara, it's a couple years now for you, right?
Yeah, I'll be celebrating 4 years in May.
And Cassie, what is your, did you have always all eight have been sober, or yeah?
No, just the last two. I have not drank alcohol, and I will have my third year sober date actually will be on the farm this year on the Thursday. So that's pretty exciting.
Congratulations.
Very good work.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's get together and throw your sober birthday party on the farm.
Oh, that'd be so fun. I'd love to.
So I'm going to ask all three of you, because and again, we talked about it last week, but it's a phenomenon. It's a fascinating phenomenon to me because of the perception, if that's the right word, that an event like Bonnaroo has. It is not perceived to be a sober place, whether that's true or not. So, I mean, I'll ask all three of you, talk about that a little bit from your own point of view, because Brian, I've heard you talk about it a little bit, the idea of, can I enjoy this festival sober?
Yeah.
Can I even, it's such a life-changing thing. And I kind of want to hear from all three of you about how much that played into everything.
I'll go last. Cassie, won't you start first with that thought, and then bounce to Tara, and then I'll throw mine in there as well.
Okay. So the question is, how can I have fun sober, or can I have fun
or
sober?
Maybe leading up to that, this decision and all that.
How much did that play into your thought process? Yeah.
Yes. Well, I will say when I quit drinking, I definitely feared that I was going to, like, fear of missing out, pretty much. FOMO is what we say. I thought that I was going to miss the magic of the farm, or I was going to not feel what everyone else was feeling, or the majority of people. But in reality, for me, being sober is much better because I can be fully present and I can still experience the farm, the same things as I would while on substances or drunk. But now I can, like, completely remember everything. I can have more energy, be more active, not feel like death on the farm, like being hungover or anything like that. The first year that I did it sober, I was worried that I might feel weird or like I was missing out on something, but I definitely didn't. It was actually really good. And the farm has so many like lights and sounds and people. It's almost like you're on a substance anyway, but you're not. So it's been really good.
I agree with that 100%. Tara, your thoughts on that? We've never really talked about that just as friends or colleagues or as, you know, just in passing at the time of when your date to stop drinking. I think, was it around Mother's Day?
May 8th.
Your thoughts on, were you like, oh no, I'm not going to have fun anymore? My guess is you're a little more logical and maybe you thought it through better than some of us, but that's just my first thoughts.
No. There's two funny things that, you know, my husband got sober with me too. Husband Joe, who also goes to camp with us. And I definitely don't lose as many things. So that's really nice. That's
good.
You know, I have had a really good track record for many years of losing my phone pretty much as soon as I stepped into any festival grounds.
You're better than that.
But before smartphones, right? We could lose them and just go get another one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing that I've really noticed too is like standing in lines. Like, it's so nice to sit back and not stand in a beer line, stand in the porta potty line, stand in the beer line again, stand in the porta potty line again. And so those are the two things that I've really gotten out of it. But it was scary, you know. Bonnaroo, like I said, has been a really big part of my life. And I've been gone from, like I said, being the raging teenager and young adult at the festival and getting in precarious situations all over the farm to, like, now I'm taking my teenager there and she's been going, this will be her sixth year. So, you know, that transition is a lot. But even so, you know, I didn't get sober the first time I tried. It took me many, many attempts and many years to finally figure that out. And I think it was 2019. I had about 6 months that I had been sober and I got on the farm, and I couldn't imagine being on the farm without an IPA. And I remember going to the bar over by, you know, the Ferris wheel and buying a beer and having one. And it would be another year before I got sober. And so it's scary that you need a lot of support. And we've been very lucky to finally have that support and grow together. And so I think, you know, when you say you're more logical, it's like, in some ways, yes. I was excited. I had my stuff ready. I had my NA beers and my cold brew and, you know, lots of fun beverages to kind of keep me entertained, and had some plans in place. But ultimately, the festival, remembering the shows, I have to agree with Cassie so much. And with Patrick and everybody, it's a totally different experience to remember everything and to enjoy it and to not feel like death in the hot sun under a truck, you know, the next day.
Yeah, I mean,
under a tractor trailer trying to find shade. So.
Yeah, and I get all that and had a lot of the same feelings. For me, it wasn't as difficult for Bonnaroo itself, because for me it wasn't a go and imbibe a whole lot part of my year. I just did that everywhere else. But it certainly was something I thought about a lot, just like anything else that would be entertainment driven, that hospitality driven, those kinds of things. But yet, of course, the easiest quick answer is, you know, you remember everything.
I was going to think, you know, our big conversation too is that you're relearning how to do everything.
Yeah.
I think y'all talked, you touched on that in the podcast. It's like at 49 minutes, I almost got to tears because it was so nice to hear somebody else say it. Like, you're having to relearn how to do everything from sitting on a patio, going on a boat, going to a wedding. I mean, all of these life skills, if you started when you were really young, you never learned how to do anything without it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bonnaroo is just no different.
Yeah, because you said something a second ago, Tara, that kind of connects with that. You're talking about planning. And I'll ask all three of you. And Brian, I want to hear the rest of your answer. I'm sorry to interrupt, but
go ahead.
You know, we all spend, and now is about the time when regulars, we start thinking about our camp and our planning and what we're packing. And we've done it enough. We know, you know, at midnight, I'm going to have spicy pie and I'm going to have this and a beer or a shot or smoke a joint or have a brownie or whatever to sort of plan for the. Did that have to change a lot? I mean, Tara, you're kind of talking about that. That's how we experience weddings and events and dances and whatever. You know, where and when will we have a drink first? And then we'll, you know, is that a big part of it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that goes back to the conversation of like, what do you do first when you get to a show? You go to the bar line, you know, I mean, there's a ritual to it. Yeah. There's a big ritual to it. And I think planning is just that packing. And to be fair, like I've been able, this will be my third year. This will be my third year. And I actually can stay up later. I can go longer, you know, because I haven't been drinking since 9 a.m. And so the plans have changed and they've changed for the better.
How about you, Kathy?
Same thing. I definitely have made a plan the past 2 years, and that's like my number one on Soberoo to-do list is make a plan. For me, I always got super drunk on Thursday night. I know that's a big no-no.
Yep, been there, done that.
As soon as I would park.
Don't do it.
Yes, as soon as I would park and, you know, you open the back hatch, you get out the cooler,
open a beer,
shotgun a beer. That was my thing. And then, you know, I just wouldn't stop. I would just be extremely drunk by the time the music started. And then it would ruin my whole weekend, to be honest, because I would be so hungover on Friday. And it would just take the magic away for me, just being sick, like feeling hungover, headache, stomach ache, all that stuff. And when you're in the sun, you know, it's never fun. So my plan is, you know, have something else that you can replace it with if possible. I like LaCroix sparkling water because I used to drink seltzers a lot with, you know, like White Claw and things like that. So I like LaCroix, and you can always make it like fun. I like to put pineapple juice in there, like a little cocktail. And then always, well, big advice for me is tell everyone that you're camping with that you are sober or that you want to remain sober and ask them for support. Like, hey, I'm thinking about drinking. I'd really like to pick up a drink right now and ask if they could help. Walk away if you need to. And there's Soberoo. They have meetings if you want to go visit that, if that's something that is up your alley. But there's a lot of support on the farm. But I think you just need to communicate with people as well. Just to get them in your team, on your team, in your corner, just for them to help you out.
Yeah, with a lot of us here on this call in various forms have been here a lot of times. So been to festivals, Bonnaroo specifically, a lot of times, and we know a lot about it. And you know, that's why for me, Bonnaroo specifically wasn't as big a deal because it's just such a different place. I mean, there's just so many places to get your natural dopamine to get to you. I did all that, set up, crack a beer, two, three, probably key one or two. It's probably been quite some time, but I've done that too. Like the excitement of we're here. I mean, I started doing this at 22 years old, 23, 24, Thursdays, Fridays, you know, those are lost, long gone from the memory bank. And, so yeah, it's, I was a little nervous last year, but it didn't take long for me to figure out that this one was going to be easy for me, luckily. But I do a lot of events, and Tara, you work in the industry. I mean, I do everything I do involves people drinking and whatever else they're doing to enjoy themselves. And I look at that and smile at most of it. That's fine. Every single thing I do, ball games, concerts, small festivals, farmers markets, every one of them has to do with that. That's a lot harder for me. Bonnaroo was easier because it is the special place. You know, this is where I turn into a little gushy, mushy guy, not to jerk all the time, where I'm like, I'm just in a, it's just so easy to be in a good place there at Bonnaroo. It just, yeah. It's that simple. But I would have never understood that 5 years ago. Like I could conceptualize it, but then it would evaporate really quick. And then who's mixing up the drinks? But to step away now, it's been pretty easy, and it's exciting. I think Barry, you might've asked me specifically last week how my feelings were going into this week. I don't remember how I'd answered it, but, or this year, and it's can't wait, you know, yeah. And I can't wait. Cause I just know how great of a place it is.
Kai, thanks for your patience.
Yeah. Hey, Kai, thanks. Yeah. You want to come on in here?
And thanks for joining. I was begging Brian to ask Tara to make sure you were here today. Cause I'll say this in front of you, and I've said it before in front of you, Kai is just one of the cool kids. There's no question about it. And you've been part of Camp Nut Butter, which is our camp for almost, this will be six or seven. This will be seven.
Yes. Six years.
Okay. So you started very, very young. I have a lot of questions for you, but this topic is not new to you. Let's be clear to people listening. You're well aware of all of it. You have really cool parents who and include you in discussions and all of that, right? So what are your thoughts hearing what you just heard today? Let's just start there.
Yeah, well, I've been around drunk people my whole life too. Being my mom's daughter, her working show.
Thanks. We always had parties and get-togethers growing up, so she's been around it, yeah.
And you've probably been to the show. I mean, Tara ran.
And she's been to Nightfall, the show.
Yeah. All of it. Like, I've been around it my whole life. And I've really seen her grow so much, and I'm really proud of her and all this stuff. And I know kids my age who are struggling with that as well. Like, I know kids who went to Bonnaroo last year, and they're 16, 17, getting absolutely wasted, getting lost, and it's like, such an early age to kind of start that pattern. So like having assets like Soberu on the farm, I think is really important. Like what Kathy was talking about, just communicating. I just think that it's a wonderful thing to have so much support at such a happy, fun place.
How in your, and you don't have to be super specific, but in your peer group, you know, outside when you're not around your mom and the friends that are your mom's friends that are, you know, in a version of your friends too, when you're own in your own peer group, I imagine the conversations are a little different. Like how do you approach that? Do you just kind of let people do their thing, or do you?
Yeah, I am lucky to not have a lot of like friends who are drinking. I knew like a couple specific people, and you can try your best to help at this age, but people are just gonna do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and it's like if you're not super close and you don't want to tell their parents because that puts you in a weird position. Being this age and seeing like substance abuse is just a really hard field to navigate. So if I find that like what someone's doing doesn't make me feel safe, or I don't want to be part of it or around it, I kind of somewhat tell them, like, you need something that I can't give you, and I kind of distance myself from something that's going to be negative.
Well, part of the reason I wanted to ask that is because, I mean, we're a significant difference in age, but it wasn't that long ago that I was in high school and roughly your age. And it just, the cultural changes over the last 25 years make me so happy. You mm-hmm. couldn't not go with the flow in the culture of which I grew up with in public school in the 90s. It was just not part of it. You went along with it, whether you want it. I wanted to, but if you didn't, whether you wanted to or not, you went along with it, or else you were not part of, you were not going to be a part of social, certain social groups and settings. And at that age, and especially now, Kai, how you do it with all this social media nonsense, that just sounds like a terrible struggle. And your answer was as simple as you told it, as simple as anything else. So that's encouraging to me, because I would have been eaten alive by the peer pressure to be like, oh yeah, yeah, that pill's, that's cool, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
Or not, never, never like any kind of, and I don't mean preaching, getting in front and trying to be an activist and create a mission, but to even push back and say, hey guys, you sure about this? They'd be like, yeah, we're sure, you're out of here.
Yeah.
You're not invited anymore, bro. Yeah. That's cool. That's a cool shift to me.
Yeah, I think a big conversation too, and we touched a little bit on this, is harm reduction, right? Like they're going to experiment. These, you know, we're gonna see this. I think there's a bigger leaning towards being healthy in this generation. And I think alcohol is kind of cringe, if I want to get into the lingo, right?
That's great. That's great.
Alcohol is kind of cringe, and being wasted is kind of cringe. And like, there's this whole kind of movement, right? But, you know, we definitely talk about harm reduction, and fentanyl is something that we are not going to escape. Fentanyl test strips, you know, we try to keep them in the house. If there's 25 for $25 on Amazon, Narcan, we've got organizations like Be the Place that are on the farm where you can get Narcan. We've got CPR, Life Wrap, which is made here in Chattanooga by Felicia Jackson. I mean, there's just like your go bag, right? Like your, all your stuff. And how do you prepare your youth and your teenagers for who might be around them, and how they can be, again, maybe not partaking, but at least be aware.
Well, while we're on that, I want to go to that direction a little bit more, Tara, because I've been impressed by how much you have put your effort, energy into awareness of this, of the strips, mm-hmm. of being prepared, of having, and I don't remember what all the products are, the test strips, the Narcan, all these different things. And I've actually at times thought I should know more about this, and I should push it more too, because this would, another thing to be frowned upon, whoa, drug prevention, you know, preventative kind of things. Well, that means they might be doing drugs. Okay. You know, that was just the different world 25, 30 years ago. Speak exactly. to that some. I know Moon River here locally had a station this year, and I remember your socials being just like over the moon excited, saying, look at what Moon River's done, how great this is. This has been a strong point to you. Explain a little further what you're talking about, the kind of like almost a first aid kit for potential drug overdose. And we're not talking about smack in the gutter overdose we're thinking from the movies from forever ago. We're talking about a pill. Something that you have no idea, you would think as harmless as it could be, isn't. If you would just expand on that a little bit and your efforts in getting that awareness out.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, it's just, you know, it scares me for the kids nowadays. You can't experiment. You can't have fun. You know, these, we used to have the impression, and Brian, we grew up in similar times where, you know, alcohol, drugs, it was in the media, it was everywhere around us, it was cool, it was what we did, it's how we made friends, it's how we bonded, right? And the fact is that if you can't stop it, you can at least make it safer. And so that's where this term harm reduction comes from. And I didn't make it up, obviously, I've learned this. And these products, like you used to have to do a lot of drugs to overdose.
Yeah, yeah.
You used to have to really be spun out to OD, right?
Beautiful point. We're thinking of just like guy can't stop, goes all night, ODs. That's not what we're talking
mixing
about.
Mixing stuff, yeah. You know, these situations, you're shooting heroin. I mean, like, you know, like there's like all these things that we knew when we've all lost people, right? And I think that's a big part of my story too, is I've got a lot of people I've lost. And so it's one of those things where it's so simple, and it's so easy, and it's so available now that it just seems silly. And it's like you can almost make a goodie bag for the person that you care about that's going to Bonnaroo, and throw a thing of Narcan in there, throw a thing of these fentanyl test strips. And it's really easy. You literally take this test strip, and you put a little bit of whatever it is you want to do in a baggie, and you swirl it with some water, put the test strip in it, and it tells you if it has too much fentanyl in it.
Sounds pretty simple.
If it does, don't do it. If it doesn't, you know, whatever you're going to go do and enjoy.
Probably shouldn't, but proceed whatever. With caution.
I'm not here to judge. I'm here to try to keep people safe, right? And so those are things.
I probably should have said at the beginning, because we're having this conversation 2 weeks in a row, I don't think, and I don't want to speak for any of you guys, but I don't think we're necessarily here advocating that everybody needs to go to Bonnaroo sober.
No, not even a little bit.
No, absolutely not. Point,
right? Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
I marvel in people who can recreationally just dabble in a little drinking and a little recreational whatever it might be. I marvel the people who can do that in a very responsible way.
And it is I can't. I said that for
I can't do it.
People ask me, you know, are you up there doing drugs all weekend? I said, I wish, because that's the perfect place, but that's just not for me. It's, you know, I've always, especially when I was still working at the paper, my joking line was, I'm that guy that'll take some drug and end up naked up in a tree, and people will say, that's the guy from the paper. I know.
Yeah.
You know, so it scared me to death. So, but I want to make that point. That is not the point. I think the point that we want to have this conversation is that it can happen. You can attend these type of things.
And being sober. Prepared is, I mean.
And do it safely. And it's we paramount. Have all those conversations. Yeah. And Cassie, you pointed out, and I know Tara, you did too, but Patrick, that was one of the things that really sort of hit me as someone unfamiliar with what all they do, was the support that Soberoo offers. And Cassie, you mentioned it earlier, the support that you need, right, from your friends.
Yeah, it's to get away from it all. Cassie, and also I wanted to ask you a little bit more specifically, as you made that switch with your friends who probably didn't all do the same thing you were doing as far as getting away from whatever substances it might have been, how was that transition for you? Did people look at you strange? Like, are we still going to be able to be friends? Like,
yeah.
I went through that. I think a lot of people understand that.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was a hard transition. And I'll just say, it's like the ones who don't get with it, they get left behind. So if you're not supportive of me getting healthy, then maybe I shouldn't be so close to you.
It's a pretty good indicator, real quick, yeah, that if someone thinks it's not supportive of your sobriety journey, there's a lot of reasons why they don't need to be involved. Yeah. And luckily, and Tara and I have so many cross-pollinated friends in this community. It's just, I mean, it's meant a million, trillion, umpteen billion, accountable jillion dollars of anything I could imagine to me. You know, it's been a celebration to the point it makes me feel awkward almost. And I love it. And I love it. It's helped me tremendously.
Kai, I'll ask you, and you can answer or not, but when you're talking about, and kind of when Brian was talking about his high school and mine, the peer pressure and all that, were you at some point thinking, I can't wait till I'm old enough to have a beer legally? Or were you thinking, I ain't doing that ever?
Honestly, it's kind of a switch, you know? Like, I think there was a really long time where I was like, I'm never going to do anything like that. I'm never going to drink or get wasted or get hungover. And I think I feel that way right now. But there was definitely like a time, like sophomore, early sophomore year, where I was like, oh, like people drink, like it seems so fun, like it's just like an experience, like a rite of passage almost. But now, like, there's so many other things that you can do to kind of get that feeling where you're not getting hungover, that I'm personally, I think I'm okay without feeling crazy hard. Like, there's Delta 9 lemonades and stuff like that, and people like eat that up, you know?
I'm a fan.
So, I mean, especially like Apothecary, like all these CBD shops opening up, they're literally selling like legal weed. And I think that for my generation at least, like being an alcoholic, like it's embarrassing. Like,
good, finally.
I'm serious. It's like everyone's just thinking like there are so many other things that you can do that make you feel a lot better and aren't like
Well, and Kai, real quick, just a little bit anecdotal, just comment more than anything else, is I'm glad you brought it up that way, because in my day job, I work in the beer business, and we've had not meetings because I'm not in that world as far as real meetings, but with a handful of people who've been in the industry for a long time, and they might just be looking at, all right, pipe down, only sober guy in the company, shut up. But I was like, you know what? I mean, the idea of drinking until you look stupid, we thought that was funny. I mean, that had almost like a cultural kind of, if there was memes, you know, back in the day, that would have, they would be there. It was almost, I don't want to say celebrated, but it wasn't looked at as like, what a guy who is just kind of just, you know, spinning away into a mess. And now I feel like, Kai, your generation is like, who the hell wants to get gone on this stupid package alcohol? I think that's a great shift, not for my industry as much, but but for humanity and young people growing up through a very difficult time of peer pressure and trying to have fun, balancing, trying to have fun, trying to define what fun is. That was my problem as a 40-something-year-old trying to define fun. I thought I was Mr. Fun. Now I got to try to define it again.
Nobody ever thought you were Mr. Fun. Yeah. What the?
I thought that.
I think I just want to say two things real quick, too. And the conversations go around the why of using and the science behind it underage, you know? Like, obviously, we support it. We support legalization. We support all these things. And at that time, when she's ready, that'll be something that won't be frowned upon. But I do say that there's the science behind starting at a young age, how it affects you, what you stop at is where you start at, right? And then just the why of, like, are you doing this to prove that you're cool? Are you doing this because you're sad? You know, there's all these kind of conversations of the why. And I think that bleeds into, like, at Bonnaroo, like, why, if you're doing it to have fun and connect with your friends, go for it. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, do your thing.
Kathy,
just be safe.
We're I mean, we know Kai is 17. I'm a little bit older, older than all of you. What we haven't really asked about your sort of group. Do you kind of hinted at that if, you know, somebody's not supportive of you, then see ya. Have you been going with the same group for 8 years, or is it a change? Do you go by yourself? How, like Camp Nut Butter, which is our group, and Tara and Kai and Joe have been part of it for many, many years, as has Brian. So it's kind of the same group, and we noticed this shift last year. I think Russ and I were probably the only two in camp that were, you know, having a beer.
They weren't shotgunning them.
No, we never do, because as I said last week, the idea of being hungover.
Can we do that this year, though? I'd like to see that.
Shotgun LaCroix.
LaCroix. Yes.
Yeah, give yourself some heartburn.
We're not really, I don't think we, you know, maybe occasionally one night, of the weekend might be a little extra, might have been in the past, but it's not like we did have a Bloody Mary tent for many, many years. That was a big part of our Sunday morning and Saturday
morning.
Yeah,
but that's
my job.
That's the beautiful part. We only had one Bloody Mary. You know, it's not like we passed them around and had 10 of them.
Yeah, no.
Boy, I will always miss Bloody Mary Sundays.
It was a lot. Yeah. It was a blast. So, Cassie, how has your group or your camp evolved, I guess, through this?
Well, you asked if I had gone with the same group for the whole 8 years. The answer is no. There's been some overlap for a few years here and there of people, but this past year I went by myself, and it was my favorite year, just doing it solo, not having any agenda, like having to be somewhere, you know, I don't want to leave the group, or my group wants to go see this show, but I want to go see this show, but I don't want to leave them, so I'm just going to go with them. But when I went by myself, I just enjoyed it more. However, in the past, you know, the groups I was with party pretty hard, and I will say it has shifted, and now a lot of them still go to Bonnaroo, and they don't drink or use substances either. So I will say it has evolved. I started going when I was 23. I just graduated college, so I'm 32 now. And we've all evolved a bit, and definitely harm reduction, testing everything, being aware and just like educated on how to do that. And yeah, we've evolved, and I'm proud of everyone that I know that goes to Rue in that regard.
Thank you for sharing your age, because it really is a good spectrum here. We're basically 17 to 60 and all points in between. So, Kai, I've been waiting all day to actually all week to ask you this question, because I think and you can answer it. We don't have to get into too specific details. But we have said on this show many, many times that Bonnaroo is not for everyone, right? It's a long slog. You got to be committed. You don't want to be there with somebody who's not fully committed. When you talk to your friends about this, because you've been going since you were 10, I mean, that's a cool kid that can like it. Like, I remember taking my kids to Nightfall, which is our local summer series, to see certain acts, and it finally dawned on me that all they see are back and knees. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not having any fun. Now they are, but anyway, so when you, like I said, talk about that a little bit, that it's not for everyone, and then how you explain it to like your friends. I'm sure they think, oh man, that's so cool. You get to go see great bands and stay up till 2 and 3 in the morning. And, but it's not for everyone. Right.
And if you don't mind me real quick, Kai, also talk about that a little bit when you were a little younger too. Not so much as now, because I know the curiosity is over the off the charts now. Even talk about a little bit when you were younger, when most of your friends wouldn't even imagine the opportunity. Just sorry to overload that on you, but I was curious about that as well.
No, I mean, well, the reason my parents decided that I could go to Bonnaroo was I stayed up until 3 in the morning with them on the port when I was like 10. They were like, you're ready. So that was kind of my introduction. It was very, very fun, very cool. But yeah, I mean, the first year I went, like, all these people, like, they were like, what are you wearing? Like, why are you, like, wearing, like, this, like, crazy, like, clothing at this, wherever the hell you are, you know? Like, that was when, like, my first couple of years, I would get replies on my stories of people my age just, like, really confused, you know? I would wear like my bathing suits just out and about as like a 10-year-old, and people were like, what are you doing? You know, like it was very like foreign to a lot of people. And it's funny now, like seeing a lot of those same people going like Railbird or like also like wanting to go to Bonnaroo. Yeah, but you're right, it's not for everyone. Experienced this the past year. Some people just aren't able to kind of make it those full 4 days. I was very lucky to be introduced at a young age, and I was given a lot more grace about it. Like, oh, Kai's tired. Like, that's okay. She's 11. She can go sleep in the tent. But, like, now, like, you're older, and it's like, you got to go. You got all these shows that you want to see. This is a once-in-a-lifetime really experience for that specific year, and you can't stop. Like, you're going to have to stay up until 4 in the morning so you can go see Shaquille O'Neal DJ. Like, it's you can't.
She's got it down.
And, you can't miss that. So it's, you got to kind of give grace to new people, because it's going to be hard, you know, your first year. There's all that dust you're inhaling, your lungs are dying. It's so hot outside. They're just not used to it. And, yeah, like a lot of my friends are like, oh, I want to go. I want to like go this year. And I can kind of just look at them, like from knowing them, and be like, but I'm also very lucky. Like we camp in like a very nice area, and we have a lot of privilege with that. And some people don't. Some people are out in GA and they're waiting in line for hours just to get into summer room. So if I was in GA, maybe that would be different. But
now, real quick, you guys have done. I know you've done GA, Tara. I've done it with you partially. So you know GA, Kai.
I do, Kai, very well.
But Kai knows GA too, right?
Kai doesn't know GA.
You don't.
That, she's spoiled. When she's 18, we're kicking her out into GA.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, that doesn't discredit all of the points you just made. It's a different world out there, Kai.
let's segue real quick still into that, because Tara, I know you have, what do you call them, mama's rules?
Oh, yeah.
And the Rue Commandment.
Rue Commandments. This seems like a good time. Can you, I've got it in front of me if you don't have it in front of you, but
I do. I got it.
Yes. I can't wait for this. And what I loved about this most is for years and years and years, people would come up to me 5 years older than me, 10, my same age, whatever the time frame was, with their kids getting to be about 15, 16, 17. And it was always, hey, is it safe for my kid to go to Bonnaroo? And it's like, Bonnaroo's not a dangerous place.
No,
it's not, unless you don't have any idea what you're doing and you don't know even the basics. Like, even the basics. Then, yes, it could be. But I said, you shouldn't be scared with your kid going off to the... Even 15 years ago, it shouldn't scare you unless you don't trust your child at all. And then you should be scared for your child every day of your life.
Yeah, well, that's my answer. I always had two. One was flippant, which was tell them don't bring drugs because they'll find plenty there. You know, that was the don't. Mm-hmm. But the truth was, I said, if your kid is the type of kid that finds trouble,
then they'll trouble find, finds then they'll the find kid, trouble. Yeah.
They'll find it. If your kid is a level-headed, you know, responsible human being, they'll be just fine. That was the always my short answers. But Tara, you've developed, because my daughter went with me, but she was a high school graduate and ended up working. But she's like Kai. She's an old soul. She was that one who would sit on the front porch with us till 3 a.m. as well. But I love these rules, or these. So if you don't mind, run through them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think, you know, and with Kai, you know, her first Sunday of Rue with Lord, and that kind of happened. And then we really started going Midtown was like a really easy, I think as a parent, if you're wanting to bring your child into the world with you of festivals, starting off with a smaller, more manageable festival is a good idea. But unless you really have experience with Bonnaroo and you know you can really handle it. You know, so like we started with Midtown, right? We've done Forecastle, we did Lala, Moon River, Riverbend. So, you know, she's been raised up in these things. And so our number one rule, and this was actually funny because this was the rule that I was given at 19 by the security company that I had to work for 12 hours on, 12 hours off for 2 weeks on the farm. And it was don't eat the goo ball.
That simple.
Is that simple? And it kind of has now revolved into this, like, do not eat, smoke, drink, vape after anyone in the festival. A lot of these wonderful, beautiful, beautiful people around you do not realize that you are 15 or 16 and they want to share. And that is beautiful. Right. And you can always feel empowered to just say you are adorable. Thank you. But no, thank you. I do not know where that came from.
Right.
You know, did I listen to that when I was a teenager? Absolutely not.
You didn't.
Absolutely not. No, but that's the number one rule. And now they just come in all forms, you know, so it's like gummy bears, candies, brownies, you know, goo balls was the fun thing back in the day. And, you know, you even hear those stories of people getting sprayed with drugs, you know? And so it's, not as, you know, I don't think anybody's out here with the money in this economy to spray people with their drugs, but
I do remember that year. But, that was a big one.
But yeah.
PCP
so,
or something.
That's number one. Number two, do not run away with a cute boy or girl, and no GA without an adult. At 15, 14, 13, you need to determine at what point you let your child go into these arenas. For us, this will probably be the first year that I let her go meet up with friends because she's been trained up in it and I feel confident. But at that time last year, and again, pending the child, you need to absolutely never go to anyone's campsite without a buddy or without an adult. And you know, never go in anybody's tent, right? So that's just safety. It's just like at home, you don't go into strangers' houses. It's a lot harder when these people are all together, they're all having fun, you're all around the cooler and stuff, but just no GA, nothing without an adult.
Good one.
So that was our rule. Number three, rolling into that, is the buddy system. Staying together, service. There's no service half the time. Talking about who to go to if you need help. The medical tent, somebody with a safety shirt, knowing the map, knowing where you're located, finding those things around you, whether that be the clock tower, your pod, something besides, hey, I'm next to that van with, Minnesota plates. Or the guy with the tie-dye shirt and the beard, right? So, like, finding something more substantial. The lemonade stand in front of what stage? Like, what is your plan on how, if you get lost, you're going to get back together with no service? Something that we implemented, too, this year was time-stamping our text.
Yeah, I love this part. It's so simple. It's like one of those, why didn't we think about this a long time ago? Because we know text messages aren't going to come through on a timely manner sometimes. And to timestamp every one of them is very helpful.
Yeah. So obviously if you're at the volleyball court or wherever at 3 o'clock and you text me, but my text doesn't come in until 6 o'clock, you're gone.
Yeah.
I don't think you're still there.
That information doesn't do me any good.
It's void. No good. Yeah. So that was good, that we started that.
So what do you all do?
And if you,
do you just say it's 10:30 in the morning, I'm at the porter potty in Plaza 2?
Pretty much, we may not say it's 10:30, but it's like
10:30. Where are you? Like, just kind of like introducing or ending, whatever. Just like with the, just kind of
ending. Yeah. Like 6:30 at the what stage, seeing Matt Mason, or like, whoever. Yeah, and this is where I'm at. And so, because we split up where, husband Joe might go with her for a little bit and I'll go see some shows and then we'll trade off. And so there's always somebody around. So that helps everybody. And then also like meeting people is a big thing. Like everybody thinks they're like, oh, my friends are there, I'm going to just go meet them. And it's like, oh. I don't know if that's going to happen for you, but if you do want to meet friends, family, somebody, just go ahead and plan it ahead of time. Like, hey, we're partying at Thursday. I'll see you Thursday, 5 o'clock at the Mushroom. That's where we're going to get started. And go ahead and have some of those schedules and plans in place, especially if they're not camping with you.
Yeah. And those big crowds, like you see someone and you don't, and you can't just look around because it's so full, everyone's dancing, jumping. It's like it could be who you're looking for, but you're not gonna know.
And they're right in front of you and you don't even know it. And
yeah. I will say another hack that kind of goes along with the timestamps is what I like to do, especially when I go by myself, is the very first like day that I get in, I find my friends' campsites, and then the rest of the weekend, we don't have service, I can't call them or text them, I'll just show up at their camp and they're usually there. They may or may not be there, but that's a good way to find people, is know where your friends are camped and where you could, escape to if you need to.
Yeah, where your safe space is. Have a plan, right? And if you get lost, know where you can go.
I seem like last year, Kai, I know I've seen you guys, the three of you, head out to the volleyball or to go play, do things as a family. How much are you on your own last year, Kai, now, and especially since you're older versus, you're not spending all weekend with mom and dad, are you?
Yeah. I mean, last year, we split up a couple times. It wasn't really like splitting off. I would go in the pit and they would be like way out at a tree somewhere. So we were all always kind of in the same area. We would have a meeting spot, but it was almost like, not like a leash, but just like we had
it. It's a really long leash.
It's a really long leash. I'm very, yes.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
Like some amount of time last year, just for like maybe like two shows, met some people, and then came back, So, but I think this year will probably be a lot more freedom. I have a lot of coworkers going. My boyfriend's coming, so we're kind of going to be hopping around. But yeah, I think last year was kind of like the last like hover.
Yeah. She's leaving the Bonanette. The Bonaness. I know. And knowing that she has a buddy with her that I trust is a big deal, right? So I know that she's got somebody with her, and she knows her that place like the back of her hand, so she'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Just a couple more. I've only got six rules, right? Four is obviously hydrate, nourishment, and sunscreen. Don't go into the pit without water. You know, like if you're gonna go stand at a rail for 6 hours waiting on a band to play, like bring some water, figure it out. So many kids pass out. We saw that at Lala this year where, I mean, they're just getting dragged out left and right, you know, from heat exhaustion. And
we were trying to forecastle, I remember. Forecastle was kind of bad too, but we were trying to wait for Tyler the Creator to be like front and center for him. So he's like one of my favorite runners of all time. So I drag her with me, and we're just standing there for like, we would have like 5 hours. Like, we are really
in the sun.
She was like, I don't want to leave you here alone. So we went and we found a porta potty, and that was the end of the day.
No, that was not the end of the day. It was not the end of the day. Do you not try to put that on me? What happened next? What happened next?
She grabbed the security guard in the VIP pit, and we got in the VIP.
Well, it's good to have.
I did not do that.
That's pro anyway. Move. Those are pro moves.
We are. Yeah, so yeah. I'm too old to be waiting 6 hours in the pit. But the other one is do not fight the flow. So I think that's one thing. We got caught up in this at Midtown once when she was really young, and it was super embarrassing. Where you know, the wall that happens, like, is everybody familiar with like the wall of people that you just can't get through? And how if you're stuck, like it's easier to go out the sides than it is to try to go out the back. And so teaching your child about the wall, I think, with safety and crowds is really important. We got stuck trying to leave Midtown when she was probably 13. Oh, yeah. Through Travis Scott. It might have been Travis Scott. And we were trying to leave. And so we're in the middle. Somehow it happened so fast, you know, so we should have gone around to get to our exit, but instead I kind of went through, but the crowd just came in and we were stuck. And literally I had a light up wand, and I just was dragging her through all of these people and just going, whoa, whoa, you know, making my noises, da, da, da. Yeah, making my noises, going through, dragging this 13-year-old through this situation. And we get to the end of it, and Kai is so upset. And the mother, was like, I'm so sorry. I know that was really scary. And she's like, no, that was, you're so embarrassing.
She said, like, literally every single blanket imagined.
We had to get out.
That seems to be a pattern at Travis Scott concerts.
Yeah. So we had to get out. So we got out, we were safe, and I was the cringe, you know, mom. But, and number six is just have fun, be weird. Tell everyone it's your birthday. Be whoever you want to be. You know, we're going to have a blast, and it's Bonnaroo. And so just have fun. It's really the place where everyone is accepted, where you can be who you want to, you can dress how you want to. And I just can't ever, you can't explain that to somebody who's never been until they go.
Yeah, it has occurred to me more and more that we do this show how much this event means to me. When you sent me your text, and Cassie, I'll send it to you so you can see what we're talking about. But Tara's talking points and these rules, I showed it to my wife, who's been to Bonnaroo for 10 minutes, and I said, this is why I care so much. And it's because, Tara, what you said, everybody who goes has similar. Everybody has their own unique stories and takeaways, but there are so many similarities is what I, and this is it. It we talk about this stupid event year round.
Yeah.
Almost every day. Yep. Right. And so for people listening, you know, and again, 40% are going to be new, you know, be first timers. And so they're watching this thinking, man, these people are crazy, or maybe we are, but we love it.
We are.
I want to ask Cassie your own tips. I mean, I don't know that you've written them down.
Just Bonnaroo tips in general?
Yeah.
And maybe even coming from where you're not drinking and stuff these days, tips that have maybe changed over the last 8 years for you.
Yeah. Well, biggest tip is shade to me. You need shade. Bring a canopy and put tapestries, bed sheets, or blackout curtains around and tie them together with binder clips or zip ties. You don't want to come without your shade. It's just a fact. The first year I went in 2014, for whatever reason, we didn't bring a canopy. It was miserable. Still had a lovely time, but it was just awful. You know, it was like boot camp out there. Next tip, I like to pack my backpack for Centaroo like all day. I'll pack my daytime stuff. I'll pack my nighttime stuff. So I always have like a pair of pants, a long sleeve shirt because it gets cold when the sun goes down. I always have granola bars. I always have water on top of water. I always carry a reusable water bottle and then also a Camelback, like the straw that goes in your backpack. And then another tip that I haven't done, but I feel like is pretty helpful, is to rent a locker if you don't like to carry around a lot of stuff, because those are over by the what stage and you could just put your stuff in there if you don't want to carry around. I always have a fan in my backpack, a hand fan, and then also a battery powered fan. And now I also carry a very compact, small umbrella in there as well. So I just like to keep my backpack very stocked with things I need, electrolyte powder, things like that. And I always pack my backpack before I get to Roo, so that whenever I get my camp set up, I just grab my backpack and go in Centaroo.
What I was going to ask you, Kai, and because you mentioned, Tara, that the getting through that, I think you said it was Lala, getting through that Midtown, getting through that crowd and maybe went the wrong direction. And the end result was she was embarrassed. Guy, I know you might not want to answer this question in front of your mother, but I know that the relationship is there that you probably will, at least to a certain degree. At what point over these 6 years that you've been doing this, was there ever a time when it was kind of like, Mom, all right, you're killing me now. You're killing me. Like, I know your attitude is good because I see it every year. I know that your attitude is good. I also know that we all, no matter how good our attitudes can be, can go south at times. Were there sometimes where, and I know the list of rules might not have been existed yet, but they still existed within your talking points in life. Was there times when you were like, Mom, I can't take any more of this?
There was a lot of times. A lot of times. 100%. I can't remember them all, but even just like, it's so hot out there. It's so easy to just snap if you're in a bad mood. Yeah. Just hearing her talk about Pedro Pascal all the time, I'm just like, Mom, let me live here. But I mean, it's hard. Just not for anyone and everyone. Like, even the people that you love and cherish the most, like, you are being challenged out there. It is a challenge. And you're especially like being with the same people all 4 days, all day and night, like not a single.
Yeah, if you're tired of them, then it's
hard. And it can end.
Well, I remember, I don't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, but I think it was 2 years ago when it was so hot. I remember you getting up, Kai, and saying, I'm tired of listening to you guys whine. So you went, and I was like, dang, she's right.
I'm
being
brutally honest out there with all of you. I've noticed.
Poor times.
It hit. I was like, dang, man, the 15-year-old just took us.
Kai camps with a bunch of grumpy adults.
Surely I wasn't involved with this. I'm irritated fast. Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny because it was true.
No. But yeah, I mean, I love listening to you guys. But
enough's enough.
Sometimes enough is enough. You know, I mean, the same idea. My 30 different dudes, the same different ways.
Yeah.
So, well, you never grow out of a lot of this stuff, because me and Barry and just Tex and other stuff have kind of joked recently that it's like, I finally get all you're getting old soon, Guy, stuff that Barry's been saying for like a decade.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm like in my mid early 30s, like,
yeah,
old guy.
Just wait.
I love him to death, but he's off base on this one. No, he's not. Yeah. No, he's not. And I was in my 30s, so yeah, I get it.
When you wake up and you hurt, that's when you know, and you didn't do anything but sleep, mm-hmm. it's begun. All right. I want to ask everybody who you're looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, we want to get to your schedule. Was released in the last, it's been almost 2 weeks now, but definitely want to get, especially you, Kyle, I'd like to know where your map is going, or at least your hopeful map, and you'll see what happens once you get there. If we want, we can start right there if you guys want to.
No, I mean, I am super excited. I have a ton of people on here, but I'm going to try to make it as fair as possible. I think this year's going to be good for, like, newer people, because I feel like the headliners aren't, like, as hard-hitting as they usually are.
Most people agree with that.
But, yeah. But a lot of, like, the smaller acts, I think, are really exciting for me. I always hate how they do the schedule, because they'll overlap, like, everyone that I love. But Thursday is kind of just, like, everyone there. Like, I don't really know a lot of people. Matt Maltese, I like him. And then Guara with my mom. I don't know
Gwar
like that, but she knows
Gwar
like that.
Too,
so.
Yeah, we're going to
Gwar. Yeah, you've seen him before, right, Tara?
Oh, yeah. A million times.
It seems like I remember you telling some Gwar stories.
Oh, I got some, yep.
Friday, I love Peter Grill is one of my favorite artists of all time. I love their music. It really, like, defines who I was my, like, freshman, sophomore year. So this will be my third time seeing them. I'm really excited for them. Dominic Fike's amazing. Lizzie McAlpine, I started listening to her like my eighth grade year, and she was really like growing in popularity. You guys might not like have heard of her, but she went on tour with Taylor Swift. Like, she's really come really far away, so I'm excited to see her. Thundercat, Faye Webster is someone I've been dying to see for years. Saturday, Cigarettes After Sex, Ethel Kane, amazing. Casey Elephant and Ryan Beatty, I think, but those are kind of my Saturday picks. Sunday, I'm super excited for Yvette's Tumor, Goth Babe, and Joey Badass. Goth Babe has always thrown such an amazing show. Like, I love seeing Goth Babe. And Yvette's Tumor has great music, so I'm really excited.
We've seen Joey Badass a couple times, too.
We've seen Joey Badass, like once or twice, and he's really good, too. Really inspirational, weirdly, but I've definitely written down some stuff that he says at his concert in my notes app. So, I think it's going to be a great year for people who haven't done before. And I think it's a great year for music, as much as everyone's complaining.
Cassie, what about you? What are you looking at? What's your schedule look like? Just kind of a rough run through how you're.
Yes, I did. I have some.
Your plans.
I have some artists that I wrote down as far as my top. Top is Pretty Lights. Next is Ashniko. I'm very, very excited to see her. Next, after that is Crumbin. And then I really want to see this drum and bass artist called Shy FX, because I feel like we don't really get a lot of drum and bass on the farm, and I'm super excited about that. And then Megan Thee Stallion on Sunday, and then Gwar. I love Gwar. I've seen him before. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
We'll have to meet up for that one.
So
y'all know that starts at 2 in the morning, right? That starts at 2 in the morning.
On Thursday.
I'm going to do it. I don't think I'm going to dress. Yes, I'm not going to dress in white or anything, because I don't want to like have to wash all that off after, because there's no showers, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Y'all just tell me about that one.
Yes.
Just let me know about it.
And then T-Pain, of course, is in my top two, because Bonnaroo is so nostalgic for me. Like, a lot of the acts that they bring are like from my childhood, so I really enjoy seeing artists like T-Pain. So those are my top. I think there are some definite conflicts, especially with T-Pain and Thundercat. Mars Volta, I think, is
the same. Mars Volta, we talked about that last week.
I was going to say
the exact same time.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Yeah. What are they doing?
Ridiculous.
I'm going to go to T-Pain, and then I'll probably end the night, like the last 20 minutes, at Thundercat. Not that you asked, but that's... so.
Well, we did ask.
No, that's good to know. I was trying to figure out how I was going to handle that. So
Gwar is, I'm good. Very, very excited for Gwar. We'll definitely have to meet up.
Tara, what you got?
Let's see. Thursday, Gwar with Kai. I just That's something that a mother and daughter should experience together. No one
ever. Heard here only on this show. Guar is something a mother and daughter should experience. Time stamp that. Make a promo out of that.
I love it.
Yes. So we're definitely going to go hang out at that. Let's see. We've got Friday. I have the same problem with T-Pain, Mars Volta, and Thundercat being all at the same time. So I'm going to figure that out somehow. Let's see. Saturday, we got Brittany Howard, Cigarettes After Sex, Parcels, Pretty Lights. And then Sunday, Megan Thee Stallion. You know, I'm really excited to see Megan Thee Stallion. I'm very excited to see that. But other than that, you know, I'm going to let her drag me around and let everybody drag me around to see what I can see. My favorite part of Bonnaroo is walking into a place where I don't know any of the artists and walking home being a fan.
That's the best, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's the most common comment from people who have, you know, who understand what this is. And that's a common bond amongst most everybody, most Bonnarooians anyway.
I think to me, from someone who's written about music for as long as I did, that's probably been the biggest shift, really, is this idea of discovering somebody new versus, you know, being a fan of the number one song on the radio that gets played 15 times a day. It wasn't always that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much. I knew this would be a lot of fun, and it has been. Appreciate you giving up some time and sharing, you know, some pretty personal stuff, really. But I think it's important and glad we did it. So,
yeah, thank you very much. And Absolutely. Boy, I mean, we're looking at my wrist as if there's a watch. It's getting, I mean, it, snap your fingers, it's going to be here. May's almost here already. So this is exciting times.
Start to get those outfits together now.
Yep.
I got my
time to make all my crafts to give out.
Oh, yeah. Her obsession with that guy. I mean, he's fine, but come on.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
All right, so there you go. Once again, two things, Brian, that stuck to me, with me from last week and this week is this idea of support. That, you know, I've not been through it. I have in my own mind perception, and I ask you and I ask them, you know, were you worried about going to an event like this sober? How much does that change, impact your thoughts? And what I keep hearing is support. The fact that there is support. If you need to go talk to somebody, you can. If you need to get away from your group because they're not helping, or, you know, somebody, that the support is there and they're happy to help.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really that simple, that it's there if you need it, and if you don't need it, even better.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's been interesting to talk about from now three different people. And really the first being, you know, the founder of the organization. Everybody kind of had the same similar answer, even Patrick from last week. Even if it wasn't specifically the same worded answer, yeah, there was a little fear. Like everybody, I mean, that's a very, very common thing. And to be able to all understand that, because I mean, I thought I was a fool for it. Like, how stupid, I mean, how stupid do I sound and look? Or how, like, I felt, I did have some insecurities, not so much they ate me alive, but a little bit, and to know that the more you hear, like, hey, man, this is normal. This is how this works. Roll with it. And then when you're in a world like Monroe that we're so familiar with, it doesn't take long to get comfortable and to roll with it. If you took me to Lollapalooza or you took me somewhere I've never been, I don't know how well I would do.
Sure.
I don't know. You know, Shaky Knees is in 2 weeks, and it used to be one of my not guarantees of the year, but it certainly was a very close to probably. I don't have as ton of interest anymore, even though I'd be perfectly comfortable there as well. So I think the Bonnaroo, I hate to use the word magic, but that's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah. And it, man, it helps. It really, really, really does.
Yeah, I appreciated the answers. And all right, well, there you go. Another good show. Thanks again to all those guys for giving up time to talking to a couple of dopes like us on this silly show that we do every week.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you.
We'll be back next week. Like, share, and do all that stuff. And thanks to Consequence for letting us do this. So see you guys, and have a great week.
See ya.
Consequence Podcast Network.